Welcome to On Air with Tatiana D.
The hottest motivation show in your suburbs.
Do you feel the daily routine is catching up?
Are you a champion of your game?
And you need an extra dose of positivity?
Let's find out together how to live a happier life without stress or negativity. This is a story-driven podcast where we talk about motivation, inspiration, and success in almost our post-COVID reality. Hello, everyone. It's another beautiful day in Los Angeles. My voice keeps improving after laryngitis. That was quite a journey for me, as they say, to keep my mouth shut. Because as you know, I love talking, and I love talking to good friends. And my voice is still a little bit not at 100%, but that's okay. Finally, I can keep talking without any restrictions to my vocal cords, and that's a beautiful thing. Anyway, without further ado, I want to remind my listeners that today we're having a final episode with Michael J. Curry, who still has so many stories up his sleeve, stories about ghosts, his books, his work in Hollywood, and so much more. And as always, in the footnotes, there are going to be links to first and second episodes, so you can catch up if you missed those original episodes. Michael, welcome back again.
Thank you, Tatiana. It's so nice to be here.
Another question. It's actually, I would like us to go to a deeper into the psychic world. You are known by seeing ghosts, interacting with ghosts, and everything related to the ghost. Probably I'm not even understanding right now how to more correctly to form the question, but it's something very interesting, which half of the people on Earth believe and the other half of the Earth do not believe in it. And I've mentioned it earlier, there was some survey which stated that about 45% of Americans believe that ghosts do exist for real or in some form. So I would like you to talk more, whatever you can share, about these trips you're doing, you were doing, go to see ghosts before.
You mean my tours, yeah.
Your tours. And everything you feel comfortable to share about ghosts, because it's, to me, it's very fascinating.
Well, my official title is parapsychological investigator and psychic medium. And what is a parapsychological investigator? Well, that is a person who is a psychic medium who investigates haunted houses. And I didn't just make up that title. When I was 16, I took part in a study on psychic children at UCLA. It was kind of a secret study at the time. I didn't know that at the time, but I had this nun that I met at our church when I was in a Catholic high school. I think I told you it was called Bellarmine Jefferson at Burbank. And this nun was my counselor as well. And I was seeing spirits in church. And I would talk to her about stuff. And she listened to me and she believed me. And one day we were talking and I said, "Sister, is your neck hurting?" And she said, "Oh yeah, it's really hurting bad." And she goes, "Wait a minute, how do you know my neck is hurting?" And I said, "Because I can see all this orange light shooting out of your back, your upper back." And she goes, "Are you seeing my auras, Michael?" And I had never heard the word aura, so I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. And I said, "I don't know, but I see colors around all people. I see it around plants and animals too." And it turned out that she was studying, taking psychology classes at UCLA. And as an elective course, she took a course in parapsychology there. And her professor was a woman named Dr. Thelma Moss. And Thelma Moss, you can look up that name. She had a PhD in parapsychology. She was one of the only women in America with that accreditation. And she had gone back to school later in life, got this fancy degree. And she had a lab on the campuses of UCLA where she could study parapsychology. And she had students there and they would go on investigations. In fact, there's a very famous movie called The Entity, and the movie stars Barbara Hershey. Well, that house was originally in Culver City, and she and her team investigated that house. And then years later, there were other movies that were made based on her findings and her research and stuff. She met Steven Spielberg and, you know, worked with him on some other movies and stuff too. But anyway, to make a long story short, so I was tested there because, well, the nun had said to me, she told me about Dr. Moss and that she was going to go to a lecture about auras that weekend. And if my mom and dad would give permission, she would take me with her. So we asked my mom. My mom said, oh, that sounds fascinating. And my parents were open to my gifts. They didn't find it, you know, there was nothing wrong with that. My dad was a photographer, professional photographer. My mom was an X-ray technician. My mom was very psychic too. So, and she knew that I was psychic. And I think she thought it was great because I finally had somebody who could answer my questions, because I had a lot of questions back then. And back in those days, there weren't all the books we have now. And of course, we didn't have the internet then. So, you know, there was no way for me to do much research because I didn't have anybody I could ask, number one. And number two, if I told many people, they would label me as a freak. And I had a lot of that growing up, and it was not fun. I had a lot of kids were really mean to me when I was growing up. So
absolutely, I believe that, yes.
I kept my mouth shut, you know, even though I saw spirits in church and school and all of that's in my books. But anyway, So I went to this lecture and they showed pictures of auras, and I was with this nun and I said, that's what I see. Those are the colors. I see those all the time. And there was this little tiny lady sitting in the front row. We were like in the third row back. And she shushed me, you know. And so the lecture went on. And after it was all over, the lights came on and she stood up and the auditorium was packed. And she said, all right, that's it. Now, everybody leave except you. And she pointed to me and the nun. And I was the youngest person there. Mm-hmm. And she said, like, who are you and what planet did you come from? And I didn't laugh or anything. I was kind of shocked. And the nun said, oh, this is Michael. And Dr. Moss said, is this the psychic whiz kid you were telling us about? And she said, yes. Mm-hmm. So that evening, the lecturer and Dr. Moss and the nun and I went out to dinner at this restaurant called The Good Earth. I don't know if you've lived here long enough to know those restaurants. There used to be one on Ventura Boulevard, and it was like a healthy place. And they were in Pasadena. There were only a few around, but they had really, really good food. It was more of a vegan kind of a restaurant.
Okay.
I think you could still buy their tea at, like, you know, Ralph's and high-end markets and stuff. But anyway, it was a really neat place. So we went to the one in Westwood, and I sat there, and she was fascinated with me, and she was asking me questions. And she's like, well, how does it work for you? And I said, I don't know. I said, that's why I was hoping I could meet you, and you could answer my questions.
Uh-huh.
And so basically I read Dr. Moss like a book while we were sitting at this table. And the lecturer was from Russia, and his father had invented the Curlian camera. And Curlian photography, you might know about that. It's a special camera that's able to record auras in living things, whether it's a leaf.
Actually, I never heard of that, but I'm going to look it up now.
Well, yeah, you'll have to look it up. It's very interesting. You'd love it. And so anyway, I read her like a book. And I said, well, I said, it would be like, I'm seeing a little girl right now around you. And she's running after a big dog that has one blue eye, one brown eye. And she's like, yes. And I said, do you know who that is? And she goes, yes. And I said, was that dog hit by a car? And she said, yes. And I said, was that little girl like 8 years old when the dog was killed? And she goes, oh my God. And she started tearing up. That little girl was her. She saw her dog get hit by a car when she was 8 years old on the East Coast. And that was her dog. And I had the name of the dog. I had the name of the street she lived on. I had a group of numbers. It turned out that was her home address. And she goes, fascinating. She goes, how did you do that? I said, I don't know. It just came to me. And then the nun said to her, I was telling you last week, Michael and I were talking, and he asked me if I was having a sore neck because he saw orange shooting out of the back of my upper back. And she was, and her neck was hurting. And that was, he was looking at my aura. And so, you know, it was this fascinating thing. So that Dr. Moss invited me to take part in a study she was doing on psychic children. And even though I was a teenager, I wanted to do it because I wanted to learn more about these gifts. I wanted to understand why I have these abilities and what they were supposed to be used for. And so I showed up on a Saturday. The nun picked me up, brought me over to the campus, and I took part. It was every Saturday for about maybe 8 or 9 weeks. It wasn't very long, but my abilities were tested. There was another parapsychologist with her. Her name was Dr. Hazel Denny. Mm-hmm. She was from Riverside, and she was in charge of some of the students too. I would meet her again 20 years later, and we became very good friends. And she died in her 90s, but Thelma Moss died earlier. But Thelma and I remained friends too. But after the study was over, I had my own phone because I had my dollhouse business in the family garage, and Thelma would call me on the phone. And by then I was driving, I was older, and she'd say, "My team and I are going to be doing an investigation, and I'd like you to come. Can you meet us at such and such an address?" And I'm like, "Sure." So I would drive to the location. Mm-hmm. Well, I started investigating haunted houses with she and her team. So, I mean, it was amazing, and the rest is history. But I mean, I was doing investigations with Dr. Thelma Moss and her team when I was a young teenager. And it happened until I was in my 20s. And then we lost touch for a while. I went off and sang and went to college and, you know, got jobs and did other things. And then I heard that Thelma had passed away. But I was always fascinated with the results of the study. I wanted to know what they figured out about me. And so years later, I did a TV show with a guy that had worked on her team. We were put together for a show called Mystic Journeys. Now, this was long before YouTube and long before the internet. And if your fans try to look me up on YouTube, they'll only find me in a few shows because, you know, those shows, who knows whatever happened to them? They're floating around out there somewhere. When YouTube first started, I put my reel up there. And I've been on shows like Oprah and The View and all kinds of major TV shows, but the networks yanked my clips down. And they sent me letters saying that you can't show those on YouTube because we own the rights to them. You don't own the rights to those shows. And I'm like, "Yeah, but I was in the show and it's me." And they're like, "Yes, but we're still selling those shows in syndication, so you can't use them." So YouTube wouldn't let me have them anymore. I still have them on VHS tapes and DVDs, but I'm afraid to put them back up because of that, you know. So someday I hope that I might be able to put my whole reel up on my website or somewhere where people can see snippets of things I've done.
Yeah.
There are a couple of shows I'm in. One is a series called Dead Famous, and I'm in 2 episodes of that. I do a seance in the death house of Marilyn Monroe, and that was an interesting episode. And in the other episode, I do a seance in an apartment that was lived in by Jim Morrison of the famous rock group The Doors before he left for France. And that one's even more fascinating because during the seance, we were all sitting around this tiny little table, and I felt like a big dog was under the table. I could feel its tail slapping against my knees. Mm-hmm. And Jim had come through, and I said, "Jim, did you have a dog here?" And all of a sudden, we hear this dog howling, and it sounds like it's coming from the alley down the street, and they picked it up on camera. And you actually get to hear the dog howling, but it was a ghost. It was a ghost dog. It was really a trip.
Oh.
Yeah, it was fascinating. So that was a neat series. And then I was in another series called, Investigating the Unknown was another show. And then I had my own TV show for 6 years called Investigating the Unknown with Michael J. Curry. I added my name to it. And I did that in public access. And I'm hoping in the next couple of years to find those episodes and digitize them so I can sell copies of them on my website so people can see them that way, or snippets on YouTube, or, you know, whatever. But I've investigated thousands of sites around this country. I've been to famous homes. I've been in the Underground Railroad. I've climbed down miles into the earth in Calico and up in Northern California. I've been on the Channel Islands. Like, I'm working on a book about the ghosts of the Channel Islands as well. I've been, you know, all over the place. And I just keep getting invited to investigate these places because I'm one of the only psychic mediums in the country who investigates haunted houses.
Can I ask you what means exactly investigate the haunted house?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what exactly you do?
I walk in and I feel the vibrations. And I take notes of who's around. And I talk to them. And I take notes. Or somebody takes notes as I'm telling them. I see a woman, her name is Sally. Sally's telling me she lived here in 1899. And she doesn't understand why we're wearing blue jeans walking around in her house. Or whatever, you know, they have all different kinds of messages. So it's more about getting the messages and writing that down. When you read my books talk about the ghosts that are haunting the site. You learn about the history of the site. What has happened there? Has something tragic happened there?
Uh-huh.
Has something happy happened there? Why is that place haunted? Now, let me just interject this too. Haunted doesn't mean evil. Haunted just means that there are spirits on that property.
Uh-huh.
Or in that apartment. Apartments can be haunted. Condos can be haunted. Churches are haunted. Hospitals are always haunted. You know what? One time many years ago, I was having surgery, but I was in an ER in Pasadena, Huntington Hospital. And before they took me into surgery, there was this woman and she was running up and down the hall. And I kept seeing her. I thought, God, what's going on out there? And I was waiting for the surgeon to come in and tell me how much surgery I needed and when they were going to do it and all the stuff. And she kept running in and running out, running in and running out. And she finally popped her head in my room and she said, well, you're not Mrs. Orton. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm a guy, you know. And then she ran out and I didn't see her again. And one of the nurses was walking by and she came in my room. And she said, Mr. Curry, who were you talking to? And I said, that crazy woman running up and down the hall. And she's like, what crazy woman? I said, this black lady, she keeps running up and down the hall. And she popped her head in my room and she said, you're not Mrs. Horton. And the nurse said, I'll be right back. So she came back in the room with the doctor. And the doctor came in and he said, Mr. Curry, why did you mention Mrs. Horton? And I said, what's going on here? And he says, what do you mean? And I told him what I told the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, who the heck is Mrs. Horton? And he said, well, Mrs. Horton was a patient we had who died here last Tuesday in this room. And when we called the family to tell them that their mother had died, the daughter freaked out, was running up and down the hallways looking for her mother's body. And when she found her mother's body, she died of a massive heart attack in that room. Over her mother. So the mother was dead and the daughter was dead and the mother moved on to wherever we go when we die, but the daughter's ghost was still haunting the hospital looking for her deceased mother.
Wow, how interesting.
And it had only been a few days before when that happened. So I told the doctor right then and there, I said, well, I said, this happens to me all the time. I'm a psychic medium. And he goes, you are. And in those days, you know, by then it wasn't that long ago. Most people now know what a psychic medium is.
Mm-hmm.
They know what auras are. They know what orbs are because of digital cameras and all of those phony baloney reality shows on cable. You know, unfortunately, I haven't done many of those shows, but I think it's fortunate that I haven't done those shows because most of those people are just actors. They're not psychic, no matter how realistic they make those shows out to be, they're not. In fact, in the beginning of reality television, I had to take a lot of my stories off my website because some of those stupid shows were taking my stories and doing investigations and not giving me the credit for the stories, and they were getting me in trouble. I'd have lawsuit letters from these historic homes saying, you and your team need to stop coming here at midnight. And I'd be like, I don't have a team, number one. And what are you talking about? Well, it turned out it was Ghost Adventures or these other shows. They were going there and, you know, reading about my experiences and going to check it out for themselves and doing, you know, breaking up cemetery plots and doing nasty things.
Uh-huh.
And it got to be ridiculous. So I had to get my own attorney and file lawsuits against some of these shows so they'd stop stealing my information. But that's what they were doing. You know, instead of hiring me to be on their show and talk honestly about real ghosts and what real ghosts do, but they didn't want a real psychic medium. they wanted the phony baloney people because it was all more exciting to them. You know, I mean, it just didn't make sense. But now those shows are all over with. And guess what? I'm still here and I'm still writing books and I'm still doing TV interviews and podcasts and radio interviews because I'm the real deal and that's what I do. So it's kind of an interesting thing, you know.
Interesting. I have a different type of question. You mentioned about those special cameras, and I definitely would like to look them up, and just because I do a lot of photography myself, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
However, with this new technology and all those various multiple apps everybody can download on their phones, a couple of years ago, there was some app on, I don't remember, either Google Places or iPhone, because my friend downloaded some app on her phone and she was going through her own apartment and the app would show the ghosts and they would even say certain very limited
phrases. Oh yeah, I remember that app, yeah. I'd get calls all the time from people on radio shows. Oh, I have this app on my phone and I'm like, you know what? It's just an app. It's not real. It's designed by a computer program. When I see ghosts, what do you think they look like?
I'm not sure.
They look like you. They look like me. They look like real people. They're not transparent. They are as solid as you are to me and I am to you right now. As we're looking at each other on Zoom. But the difference is their auras are different. Like right now, your aura is bright blue and green and red. And if a spirit was behind you, like I saw one earlier, but their spirit, their aura would be different. Their auras would be muted colors, like maybe gray or cream or white or gray, or sometimes they're black or they have spots in them. So people say to me, well, then how can you tell the difference between the living and the dead? I can see the difference in their aura.
Wow.
I also can tell the difference in the questions they ask me. Many times spirits will say to me, you can see me? I'm like, yes. And they're like, well, how come nobody else can see me? And I almost have to tell them that they're dead. But I rarely ever tell a spirit they're in spirit. I don't like to do that because I don't want to scare a spirit and have them freak out because they could make a haunting worse if they don't actually know that they're dead. Now, your listeners are listening to my sentence and they're saying, how could you not know you're dead? But you know what you're listening to because you have logic and our brains are working and we have a field of electromagneticism around us. Mm-hmm. The electricity keeps us alive. It keeps us going. But when you're in spirit, you don't have a mind anymore. You don't have a brain. You don't have a heart. There's no skeletal structure. All you are is an energy form. Think of Star Trek. Remember in Star Trek, when the scientists want to go down to a planet from the ship, mm-hmm. and they go into that transporter machine and they turn into little orbs, and then they reconstitute on the planet. Well, I met Gene Roddenberry one time and I thanked him for creating Star Trek because I said, so many of the things that you have made up or dreamed of for that show years ago in the 60s are now proving to be a reality in the 90s and the 2000s. Like, look at the communicator. That was a flip phone for us, you know, mm-hmm. the transporting machine. Those are orbs. I see orbs all the time. When I see spirits, first, I usually see them in orbic form. And if I look at them long enough, those orbs congregate together and they create the last incarnation of that person when they lived on the earth. And so they form into the spirit that they are. So if I'm looking at the spirit of Princess Diana, but I see orbs first and they form Princess Diana, then I know that it's her because, you know what I mean? It's like, that's how it works. Or if it's your grandmother, or I'm doing a reading for you in your house and your mother comes through, I might say to her, can you appear to me? And I'll see orbs first. And then eventually the spirit will take a physical shape. And I might say to you, well, did your mother have brown hair? Did she have blue eyes? Did she have a dimple in her chin? And you'll say, oh my God, yes. How do you know? Because she's appearing to me and showing herself. So they look like us. They do the things that they did when they were alive on the other side. I like to say the other side, to me, it's another dimension. And I think that when we die, we just go into another dimension. Now, I do believe in reincarnation, as I mentioned earlier. And I also believe that we can go to a heavenly state. And I think I mentioned earlier in this show that when I lecture around the country and I do interviews and radio and TV and stuff, at the end, I often thank the host for having me. And I ask the listeners to do something for me, but it's really for them. Mm-hmm. And that is simply, I want them to start thinking about what heaven is for them in their mind. Is it the ocean? Is it Aspen, Colorado on a ski trip? Is it Disneyland? Is it, you know, what is heaven for you? So that you can start thinking about that now and planning ahead. Because we're all going to die. We're all born the same way. Unfortunately, we don't all die the same way. But, you know, human beings and plants and animals on this earth, we don't live forever. We're all going to die at some point. And if they can start planning what heaven is for them, when it's their time to go, they won't be afraid. A lot of people that haunt the earth are children under the age of 12 and elderly people over the age of 80. And I think that's because at the end of life, if you get to live a long life, many people are afraid to die. They're afraid it's going to hurt and they don't want to be in pain. They just want to go to sleep and not wake up, which is the most beautiful way to go. We all hope to go that way, but it doesn't always work like that. You know, and children don't understand death. So, you know, they watch video games and say, oh, I died, but they don't really understand the concept of that. They hit start and they play the game again and they're alive again. But in reality, you can't come back right away. It doesn't work like that. So if people start planning what their heaven is in their mind, and then when it's their time to release, they'll go to those places, then I won't have to clean up their mess, so to speak, you know. But I also say that if you get over there before I do and you get stuck, you just go to anybody you can find and say, Michael J. Curry, and they'll point you in the direction. And I promise that I will help them figure out where they go next. Hmm. And almost every morning I wake up at 4:44 a.m. and I release spirits. They're standing at the foot of my bed and they're waiting for me to help them to make, you know, preparations to move on. Because they don't know where to go. If they get stuck, then they come to me looking for advice. And then I ask them questions. Well, were you religious in your life? What did you believe would happen? Do you believe in the white light? Do you believe in going to another galaxy or another place? You know, I interview them and ask them what their belief system was to help them make that transition so they can move on. That could be a book in itself. I have helped thousands of spirits all my life. And when I travel and I go to hotels or I'm on a boat or something, they still come to me almost every morning. Not exactly every morning, but almost every morning. I mean, I do need a break. I am a human being and I do have my own interests, my own life too, you know. So I need to have time to do the things that I need to do. But I meditate twice a day. I meditate in the morning. I meditate at night. I thank God every night for giving me another day to live my life and to meet all the people I've met and interact with, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because I believe that all of those meetings, all of those things that we do formulate who I am and formulate who we are. And if we all work together and live by the golden rule, we could have a much better planet. You know, it's really that simple. Religion gets in the way. And we don't need to get hung up on all the different religions out there, although a lot of people do because they need it. Most people are, you know, I think there's two different kinds of people in the world. There's leaders and there's followers. Mm-hmm. And 90% of the people on the earth are followers.
Yes.
And very few of us are leaders. But if you have a leader personality, you know, we are the people that God gave the gifts to help the followers to understand what they're supposed to do in their lives too. And the basic thing is live the golden rule. Don't judge others. Be nice to people if you can. I mean, stick up for yourself if you're being ridiculed. Don't let people just take advantage of you, beat you up and stuff. But, you know, it's sad the world we live in today. There's so much fighting going on in the Middle East and other countries, and it doesn't need to be there. But But it would be so easy to fix. But most people don't take the easy way, you know? I know I'm getting off on other tangents, which I shouldn't do. We're really here to talk about psychic phenomena, but you have to talk about those things too.
Exactly, yes.
Because it really makes sense. It really does.
It does. And it brings diversity. So, yeah. I actually have an interesting question. I don't know how... I'm just going to say it. It just came to my mind. I really like, and I have personal history with this movie, Ghost, with Patrick Swayze and Whoopi Goldberg in it. That movie was sort of my... I came to this country when the movie was just released, and I barely spoke any English. So I could, no, actually, I did not speak in English at all. So to me, over the next few years, that movie was a marks on my progress of English learning. And each time I would watch it, it was better and better until I was able to understand the whole thing. So I've seen it like a couple of hundreds of times, at least, this movie.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And that transition of main character, which he was killed, after he was killed, how he was stuck until he helped his love to get past all, he practically saved her life and everything. And the way he was communicating with through Whoopi Goldberg, or actually her
as character, the medium, right?
It kind of gives me right now the sort of like idea or comparison to what you were saying, how you are helping, waking up at 4:44 every morning and helping ghosts to get to the correct direction. Now the question would be, does that mean that it was some sort of conveying, the whole movie was conveying how it actually happens? So maybe the creators of those movies had knowledge or experience, most yes. likely, because it's very similar to what you're saying.
Yes, it's very similar. I actually worked on that film. I worked on several films as a paranormal consultant.
Uh-huh.
I worked on another movie I worked on was called The Sixth Sense. And I was interviewed by the people that wrote the screenplay for that movie. And when I saw the film, I was so disappointed because it had nothing to do with any of the stories that I shared with them. The little boy in that movie was nothing like me. You know, he saw evil spirits. I never saw evil spirits. I saw nuns and I saw monks and saints and priests and, you know, average people too, and rabbis, and other people would come to me in spirit form, and they still do. But I've never seen anything evil. And I think that's because I'm so spiritual in my faith. And I said to God early on, I will be your instrument and I will do this work for you. I mean, this is after years of really understanding what my gift was and what it was really about, with the help of Dr. Moss and Dr. Denning and, you know, Mother Cabrini and all these other people that helped me, even in spirit. But I said, I will be your instrument, but please keep me away from anything of the dark. I don't deal with anything evil. I don't want to deal with evil. There's too much evil in the world already, you know?
Yes, yes.
And so I have had people call me and, you know, they'll hear me on an interview and they'll say, I need a shaman. And I'll say, all right, well, I have names of shamans. I'm not a shaman, but I can refer you to someone else. I'm like Mr. Information for a lot of people. I mean, and if I have calls of people that think they have a negative spirit in their house, I do a lot of interviewing before I go to a house, before I even leave my house to go in my car and drive over there. I have to do that. I have to protect myself.
Yeah,
And I've had other famous mediums that do readings on TV shows and stuff. They've referred me to people that believe they live in haunted houses because they don't investigate haunted houses. They just do readings for people. So that's interesting too. But as far as the movies go, I worked on many films and I like doing that work, but I only will work on movies that are like psychological thrillers or like, have you ever seen the movie called The Others that starred Nicole Kidman? That's a wonderful film. Excuse me.
Sure.
You'll have to look that up, but it's a great movie. It's one of the best movies ever made, like the movie Ghost, because it does sort of explain what can happen after people die and what ghosts do after they die. It's fascinating. The Sixth Sense was a good interpretation of what I do as an adult medium, of course, not as a child. Because as a child medium, I wasn't really doing readings until I was much older. But I didn't even know what a reading was. I just, you know, one time somebody gave me some tarot cards and I said, what am I supposed to do with these? And she goes, well, you don't read them? I said, no, I don't know how to read tarot cards. Tarot cards are just a game. It's like reading, you know, playing cards. Some people can read tea leaves. I don't know what tea leaves mean. I can see images sometimes in tea leaves. But one time I was drinking some tea and at the bottom of my cup, it looked like a dragon. And that's something else about me that's interesting. I always see faces. I could be laying on a table in the chiropractor's office looking at the popcorn on the ceiling, and I can see an image of a character that looks like Wilma Flintstone or Charlie Brown or somebody I've met in my life. And I've always seen that. Even when I hold up my hand, in my fingers, there are little wrinkles that look like faces. And I've shown that to people and they giggle, but I always see faces and things. Sometimes when I'm driving in California, there's a certain freeway where there are power lines that hang over the freeway. And I hate to be on that freeway when I have to be stuck in traffic because there are so many spirit faces that are trapped in the electromagnetic energy field that emanate from those wires. The spirits are like stuck in there and they can't release. And it's creepy, but it's really there. And I've had other psychics and mediums tell me, oh yeah, I know exactly where that is. When I drive through there, I have to drive through there very fast or I get a terrible headache because we feel the anguish of these spirits that are stuck in that electrical field. And it's really interesting when that happens. If I ever go to buy a house, I've always told realtors, I cannot live near power lines. Those heavy power lines that hang over people's homes, I get terrible headaches from that. Even sleeping under an electric blanket, I have to put two blankets down first and then the electric blanket over the top of that. Because after a while, I get a rash or I get a weird feeling in my legs and in my arms from the electricity. It just affects me differently. And I've talked to doctors about it, and they're like, well, I've never heard of that. I'm like, well, I'm the most unusual patient you'll ever have because I'm very different than most people. I'm similar. I'm just like other people. I bleed just like people do, but I have these gifts that are just unusual, you know? And I mean, I have doctors that know me now. They've seen me on TV or read my books or whatever. And I was at a doctor recently, and it was kind of a new doctor. And while I was in her office, we were talking and a spirit appeared behind her. And she said, are you focusing on me? I said, oh, I am. But I said, there's a spirit behind you. I said, did your mother-in-law pass recently? And she said, yes. I said, was her name Joanne? Joan? Joni? Yes, Joanne. I said, well, she's with you. And she said, really? And I said, yes. And she goes, oh, I'm so sad. I really thought she would just cross over and be at peace. I said, well, she wants to go, but she's trying to let her son know that she's okay. And the woman, and the doctor said, oh yeah, my husband won't listen. He's a doctor too. And he's, you know, Muslim and they don't believe in ghosts. And he just doesn't want to hear any of this stuff. I said, well, that's a shame because your mother-in-law was Muslim too. But guess what? She's still here. I said, you know, religion has nothing to do with this. People get so screwed up in their religious beliefs. It just boggles my mind, you know? It's really about spirituality. It's different. I'm actually writing a book right now called Religion Has Nothing to Do with This. And the subtitle, and this is a working title, of course, but the subtitle will be something like The Truth of Metaphysics and Parapsychology. And it's aimed at, you know, different religions who don't believe in spirits, but yet, but they believe in their own spirits and deities of their religion. Well, spirits are spirits are spirits are spirits. The same word translates to the same thing in every different language and in every different book, whether it's the Quran or the Bible. You know, Jesus, according to the Bible, it says Jesus arose after his death on the third day, and in spirit form, he appeared to the apostles, his mother Mary and Mary Magdalene. in spirit form. So if he didn't come back as a spirit, then why aren't ghosts real? You know what I mean? Excuse me. It just doesn't make sense that they don't believe in spirits. They only believe in the Holy Spirit. But the Bible also says that God created man, and to me, and women, in his image. You know what? What if we die and we go to heaven and we get to the pearly gates and we find out God is not a man, it's a woman? Think about that.
Yeah.
You know, God created people in his image. God created beings in his image, as we said earlier, right? Spiritual beings in his image. But his could mean hers. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if God turned out to be Aunt Jemima or somebody, you know? I mean, it would be funny. I had a dream of that one time. In fact, when I met Whoopi Goldberg, I told her that I had this dream that I died and went to heaven. And St. Peter was there to open the gates. And I walked down this long hall. And I saw this big giant chair and it turned around. And there was Aunt Jemima wearing her handkerchief on her head or headscarf. Her scepter was a big rolling pin. And I said, and Whoopi Goldberg was her face. And Whoopi laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, yeah, you were God, you were goddess. And then I woke up and I woke up laughing. And I said, you know, I think that just means that God could be female. How do we know that Christ wasn't female? We don't know. And it doesn't matter. Now, I know people are going to be listening to this and thinking, this guy's a crackpot. But you know what? It's not about that. I'm just trying to bring up the fact that people need to wake up and think more about the world that we live in.
Absolutely.
Because there's so much more to this world than we even know exists. You know, the other day I was listening to a radio interview on KFI, and they were interviewing this man who's in charge of the Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. And he was talking about a brand new telescope that was just sent up into the atmosphere on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to replace the Hubble telescope.
Wow.
And it's so much more powerful than the Hubble. And with the Hubble telescope, scientists have been able to see black holes and other universes and stars. And this telescope is going to be able to see and hopefully teach the scientists more about the black holes and the stars themselves and how they were formed and how the universe was formed, because they're hoping they're going to be able to see back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, but that's how it's designed. But it'll be fascinating. And I just hope that they're able to see other life forms in other galaxies or on other planets, because I know that we're not the only world out there that has life on it. I know we're not. There have to be other planets and other galaxies with other forms of life. Maybe there's people like us. Maybe they've got 3 ears instead of 2, or no nose. But I really hope that we get to a point in humanity where it's proven that there are other beings from other worlds. So all these doubting Thomases that we've dealt with in all these centuries on the earth will be able to say, ha, 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 you were wrong. You know what I mean?
I mean,
people just need to think out of the box more. So why did we go there?
Exactly. Michael, I would like to ask you a question as to how you started. How did you find? I know that you found really early that you had these psychic abilities. So if you can touch up on that. How actually did you find it?
Well, it wasn't that I found it. I guess I always just knew that I was psychic. So I told you the story about being 4 years old at Disneyland and seeing the spirit of Walt Disney.
Yes.
Well, that's really how it started. You know, I would see people behind other people and they would tell me things. And then I would ask the people in front of me, do you know who John, whoever is, or Thomas Jones, or whatever the name was? And they would say, well, yes, why would you ask that? And I'd say, well, they're standing behind you. And they told me to ask you. And sometimes it would freak people out, and sometimes it would fascinate them. But by the time that I discovered my abilities and I was older, And when I took part in that study of psychic children at UCLA and psychic students, really, and that opened my eyes to a lot of other things, then of course I knew, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Then I started to see more clearly of things that were happening around me. And I understood more about my psychic abilities. And I met other psychics and other mediums, and I would ask them questions, and they would share their experiences with me. Usually their experiences were very different, but sometimes they'd be similar. I had a very dear friend who's passed away now. Her name was Annette Martin, and I used to see her on TV shows. And I remember watching, you know, TV shows and thinking, gosh, I hope someday I get to work with her, because our abilities seem to be so much alike. Mm-hmm. And one day out of the blue, I was going up to San Francisco to do a TV show at Alcatraz. That was one of the first books I ever wrote, was about Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. And I'm now working on a second book about it. But I had this friend who was a parapsychologist who lived in the Bay Area. We had done some work together at the Queen Mary, the ship. And he said, if you ever come up my way, give me a call. Mm-hmm. So I called him to let him know I was coming up and thinking maybe we could meet for lunch. And he said, oh my God, when are you coming up? I said, well, I'm driving up now and I'll be there by the end of the day. He said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, nothing. Why? And he goes, well, I'm doing this TV show and I'm short one medium. We had a medium, but she had to drop out. And I said, well, where is it? And he told me where it was. And it was just outside of San Francisco. So I had time. So I said, all right, well, I think I can come over there. So I went to my hotel and checked in. The next day I got instructions, drove over to this place. Mm-hmm. And there was Annette Martin. And she was the woman I had always said, I hope I get to work with her someday. And it turned out he was very good friends with her. So wow. There she was. And she and I met. And we talked for a little while. And she was in charge of the investigation. And we all walked around and felt the vibes and, you know, talked on camera about what we were seeing and whatnot. The place was called the Moss Beach Distillery. And it's a very famous haunted place up the coast of California. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, during the lunch break, Annette and I were talking and she says, I've seen you on TV too. She goes, well, what else do you do with your life? I said, oh, I'm an opera singer. She said, you are? She goes, oh, I'm an opera singer too. I said, are you really? And we had so much in common. It was so fascinating. So we exchanged phone numbers. I went up to Alcatraz the next day, did my TV show, mm-hmm. came back home. A week later, she called me and we just started chatting. We became the best of friends. And then she came down. I told her, I said, you need to write a book about your life. And by then I had already written 4 or 5 books. And she said, oh, she goes, I'm working on a book about my career. Mm-hmm. I said, well, that would be a really good thing to do. And anyway, she got her book out, was selling at Costco. She lived up in San Jose in that area. And some man came in one day and he said, do you know Michael J. Curry? And she said, yes, I know Michael. How do you know Michael? And he turned out to be somebody in the antique toy world. And he put on sales down here in LA. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of fun. He bought her book and she mentioned me in her book. So that was kind of a fascinating thing. So when I saw him a couple months later, he said, oh, I went to Costco and I met your friend Annette. I said, Annette who? And he goes, Annette Martin. I said, oh, did you really? And he goes, yeah, I bought her book and here I bought one for you. And it was so nice, you know, but it was just so interesting.
Yes.
So we became so close. And then when her book came out and she came down to LA to promote it, have you ever heard of a store called the Bodhi Tree?
Yeah.
It's gone now, but it used to be in West Hollywood on Melrose. It was a wonderful metaphysical store. I wish to God they'd open it again. It was a fascinating place. I lectured there with my books. They sold my books there for a couple of years. Anyway, Annette got to lecture on one of her books. Mm-hmm. And she asked me to come down and be in the audience. So she would introduce me, you know, in the audience, which a lot of times people will do that. And I've helped a lot of people write books. I pointed them in the direction of publishers and printers, and because I've done all this work for so long and I'm my own publisher. Anyway, so that night she said, well, when she called me in advance, she said, why don't we sing a duet together? I said, oh, that would be fun. So we went to her son's house a couple of days before the lecture, and we rehearsed songs from Porgy and Bess and Phantom of the Opera. We sang live at the event. And then later on, she and I recorded a Christmas album together. And we were planning on traveling and performing together. And we were going to call ourselves two singing psychic mediums, which would be kind of fun. It would be clever. But unfortunately, she got cancer and she died. So it never happened. We recorded one album together. It sold pretty well, but you know, there's some copies floating around out there. But anyway, we had this lovely friendship for a few years. I really miss her. I wish she was still around, but it was her time to go. And she's gone on to the other plane. I'm sure she's reincarnated now. She was here for a while. She gave me advice. She'd come through. I'd ask her questions and stuff. But when it was her time to leave, she came to me and said, I need to go and be with God now. And I told her to go and, you know, have a great rest of her experience. And that was pretty much it. But we did a lot of neat things together. And as I said earlier, I've been very blessed in my life to have met some really fascinating people. I've met, you know, royalty, and I've met presidents and all kinds of movie stars and television stars and religious leaders and all kinds of interesting people. And I read for everybody, whether it's an average person or a truck driver or, you know, a king, it doesn't matter. I get calls from people all over the world. And I love that. It's fascinating. Sometimes I hang up from a call and I laugh in my mind and think, oh my God, this person just called and asked little Michael Curry of Burbank for advice. You know, I think of myself sometimes as that. I'm not little at all. I'm a big, tall guy. I'm 6'4", but it's just fascinating when I get people calling me and asking for my advice to help them figure out answers to questions in their lives and their spiritual paths. And then it takes me back to that day when I met Mother Cabrini in her chapel in the hills of Burbank. And she told me that I was going to have this gift, that God had chosen me to have this gift to teach people about the realities of life in the living and life in the afterlife, you know, after life is over. And so I know it's real. And, you know, like I said earlier, some of your listeners will listen to this and think, oh, I don't believe in this stuff, but other people will believe in it because for me, it's very real. And for them, it's very real, but it's not for everybody.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to change anybody's belief system. They don't have to believe what I believe in.
Exactly.
That's the wonderful thing about living in America, is that we have freedom and we can be free in our belief system.
Exactly.
You know, right.
What I wanted to say, that it was absolutely fascinating conversation we had with each other. And once I will air this episode out, I'm sure there are going to be questions from some listeners. And I would love at some point to bring you back to
talk
more, because it's absolutely incredible experience and knowledge I've got from you. And I'm sure that others will enjoy it too.
That'd be great. I would love that.
Thank you so much, Michael, and I'm wishing you a new year. And with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode. And that's it. It's time to wrap up another episode. You can find any of your favorite episodes anywhere where you are listening to your podcasts. Google, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Could you possibly do me a favor and leave a review there to help other amazing people like yourself to find my podcast faster? If you got a question, suggestion, or just want to say hello, please find me on Instagram at _TatianaDavidoff. Until next episode, stay safe, motivated, peaceful, happy. Bye-bye.